going to talk this morning on how I love my church, okay? And I hope you love the church. I tell you, the Lord has blessed us in such marvelous ways in the 33 years that I've been here. I know some of you didn't think I was that old, but man, it's been great years. You're just as young as you feel. Well, sometimes I don't feel that young. But, you know, I love this church. 1985, God called me here to pastor this church, and we started out, many of you don't know, we started out in the old fire station down in Bronner Hall. Is it still there? It's still there. Man, it was a muddy mess some Sunday mornings, and the church would get in there, and they'd clean that thing out, and by the time we'd get going, maybe a fire would go off somewhere in the city, and we'd have to stop our services for the firemen to run through. But, you know, that was just an amazing time in my life. I grew up in a small town, and the Lord just blessed us, and we went places. Our church was on fire, and we went to missions all over the United States and did mission work in Colorado and North Dakota and South Dakota and different places like that. And I just wanted to reach people for Christ. I just had a love for people, and God called me into the ministry in 1979. And it was just amazing. I said, God, I don't know where you got in store for me, but I love to tell people about Jesus. I love to tell people. You know, we desperately need our members who love the church the way God loved the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, he gives us, talking about the marriage and husband, I read this many times at marriages, and in verse 25, let's start right there, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning as we have heard these songs about love and how you loved us and how you love the church and the church, a bride, the bride of Christ. Oh, what a beautiful picture the Bible gives. God, this morning, I pray that we'll refresh that zeal in our heart that we might love the church and give ourselves for it like you did. And God, we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. You know, God loves this church. He says here, sacrificially, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You've heard that all your life, haven't you? That passage of Scripture, how God loves the world, that he sent his Son. Now, every born-again believer, Christ is bringing in to be the church. If you're a born-again believer today, you've accepted Jesus Christ. You are a part of the family of God. You are part of the bride of Christ. What a beautiful picture. A bride adorned for a husband. Jesus Christ loves the church, that he gave himself for the church sacrificially. Now, he also loves the church unconditionally. You know, sometimes we please him and sometimes he's not so pleased with us as a church when we don't do the things that he asks us to do. But God still loves his church. He still loves his children. He also loves us, the church, eternally. He always will. To present us, the Bible says, in heaven without spot or blemish, a glorious church. Now, there is a blessing, I believe, to every believer who really loves the church. Now, I want you to think about it this morning. Do you really love God? Do you really love God? You see, if you love Him, you're going to do some things for Him. You know, David had a great desire. In the Old Testament, David had a great desire to build the temple. But, you know, even though he had a great desire to do that, God says, no, David, I can't let you do it. I'm going to let Solomon build the temple. Now, you know, I know David probably, his heart just sank within him. Oh, but Lord, I wanted to build that for you. But God says, no, David, Solomon's going to build the temple. And, you know, David didn't get mad like some people do. We have sometimes people, we don't get our way, we get mad and we sell up and get, you know how people are. I'm so glad David wasn't that way. I believe David really loved the Lord. He had a heart for God that no matter, even if he would never worship in that temple, he was still loving God so much that he wanted to see the work continue. Oh, that's what we ought to do as a church. We love this church. We love being part of the body of Christ. That we so want the work of God to carry on. Now, I could call out names of many saints here that over the past years that I've watched starting out and growing up, and many of the saints gone on and died. But man, they were faithful. I can remember little Doris. Little Doris was a little lady in our church years ago. I don't know if Doris Moore, if many of you know her or not, but her old legs were just eat up with arthritis, and she needed knee replacements, and she was on her up in years, and it pained her so greatly to walk. But every service, I would see her coming up the hall, and she was moving real slow with those knees, but she made it to church. She loved God's church. And I thought to myself, how faithful a lady like that is. And there's been many men and women that I could call who were just as faithful, that no matter what happened, rain or sleet or snow, they were going to be at God's house. I could tell you, I could depend on them being here. They loved the church. They didn't come for the pastor. Oh, they had a great love for me, and they had all of that, and I could always count them, but they came because they loved God. And I can remember growing up in the years gone by, and when we were kids, the church was the center of the town in those days. Everybody on Sunday went to church. They didn't stay home. They went to church. Even the lost people, they would go to church because they knew that the gathering was at the church, and people would be there, and they would praise and worship God in that community. You see, everybody wanted a church in town. Not everybody went to church like they should, but, you know, the church was the center of the activity in the towns where I grew up in years past. And I knew they had a love for the church. The work of God, seeing people won to Christ, seeing souls brought to Christ, and seeing God glorified and His Word honored. That's what it's all about, folks. But statistics today show that only about 20% of the people on the church rolls do any of the work in the church. And that saddens my heart to think that only 20% of the average of the people actually stay and do the work, and then about 20% give to the church. And that saddens my heart that people don't give to the work of the Lord, and about 20% actually come on a regular basis. And folks, I wonder, do we really love the church like Christ loved the church? Now, based on those statistics, one out of every two members, I would have to say, do not love the church at all. Isn't that sad? And that's not here. I know we've got a wonderful church. This is a wonderful group of people. And we've got a great church. I love this church from the time you called me as pastor. Back then, there wasn't anything here but old K. Bob's and the Dairy Queen. Actually, they come and told me I was called as pastor in the Dairy Queen. and we celebrated in the Dairy Queen. That was my celebration lunch there, and I never will forget those people that were there that day. Oh, Paul writes in Revelation chapter 2, God said, I know your works. Isn't that wonderful? God knows our works. He knows the works that's going on here in this church. I know your labor, all your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And I said, praise God. God knows what we're doing here. But he also says in that scripture, but you have left your first love. You've left your first love. And folks, in our church, many people have left that first love. Somebody said the other day, why does it happen when new works start, new churches start, that everybody wants to come and everybody fills that church, you know, and then after about a year or so, it begins to drop off. Now, we've been going here for 33 years. And yes, I can say, I can look back and say, well, attendance has dropped off over those 33 years. And that could be depressing if I believed the old lie from the devil. But you know what? I know that a lot of our people have passed away and gone. And I know that they're with the Lord today because God has blessed His church. Our church has been blessed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what? I was looking back over the records. We have started and supported 6 independent missionary Baptist churches. Now, I said independent missionary Baptist churches, not Southern Baptist churches. We're a Southern Baptist church, I know. I'm a Southern Baptist, SBT, whatever you want, but most of all, I am a Christian. And I love the work of God. I don't care if it's independent Baptist or missionary Baptist or Southern Baptist or whatever. If they're doing a work for Christ and they're seeing souls saved, I'm wanting to start and help those churches grow. God's blessed us with 2 foreign missionaries called from this church. My son's one of them, and I thank God for him. Talked to him this morning, and he's on his way back to Korea now, and from there he'll be going to Thailand to meet with some people, and then after a couple of weeks back to Eastern Asia, where he'll spend a couple more years before he gets to come home. But you know, I just thank God that God had called him from this church. And then Laurie, we knew Laurie, she was in India for years there doing missionary work from this church. And who would ever think God would call 2 young people from this church to be missionaries in foreign countries? And Zach went on and got his doctor's degree. I was so proud of him when he told me, he said, Daddy, I'm going to get my doctor's degree. And I said, man, I'm just so proud of you. And we got one more, Jared. Y'all know Jared Wellman. He's working on his doctor's degree. Who would ever think that from this church we'd have 2 young men like that? And then all besides that, I remember God has called 7 other pastors out from this church since young men. Can you imagine what God is doing? And you know, if you look at the Bible and you see what the Bible says, God says this church has a part in all of those ministries. And I just think, God, praise God, we see souls being saved all around the world because of this church. And God's what He's done here at this church. You know, God has saved literally. I told my wife, I said, babe, how many people have been saved since we started? She said, oh, it's too many to count. But we've had over hundreds been baptized through this church over the 33 years. And I just said, thank you, Lord. It doesn't matter. You know who they are. You know the work. And then I also read that, you know, Lord, that we've left our first love. And I wonder today if we've lost our first love that we once had for the work of the ministry. And I said, Lord, don't let us ever lose that zeal to see people saved. Don't let us ever lose that zeal to see a missionary going out. Lord, I love this church. But you know what? You can work and you can give without loving. But you cannot love without giving. Think about that. And I wonder this morning, do we love God's church? Do we love God's church this morning? If you do, why do you love God's church? You see, not only do I have one son that's a missionary, I have two sons. We have a couple here this morning with two young boys, and I couldn't help but think when I shook their hand, that's Mr. Smith, I believe he was. I was Jones, Smith and Jones. I think we had a television show about us one time. But no, we both had two boys, and I thought those little boys, who knows that those two boys might grow up to be missionaries. Isn't that wonderful? You never know what God's got in store for us. I had two sons, anyhow. And over the years, boy, we have sacrificed a lot of things for them. We've given them food on the table to eat. We put clothes on their backs. We've given them all the necessities of life and some of the luxuries that we might have been able to afford. But you know, if I decided in my heart that every time they didn't do what I wanted, I wasn't going to give them food to eat, they would have starved to death 20 years ago. But you know, that's funny, isn't it? Yet that's the way a lot of people do the church. Oh, if the church is not going to do what I want it to do, I'm not going to give. Had a lady one time says to me, well, I didn't get my way in that vote, so I'm not going to give to that. You know, that reminds me of a little child that wanted to take up the toys and go home because they didn't want to share them with somebody. That's not Christianity, is it? That's not the way God works. We ought to give to His church. You know what? I learned a long time ago, you don't put anything before God's work in God's church. If you love God, you're going to love His church. You're going to want to see the work go on. I love the church because it's God's church. This is not my church, and it's not your church. It's God's church, and it's God who works in His church, and I'm going to serve Him with my presence. I'm going to serve Him with my presence. We're at a time, I believe, in the history of the church, and I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about all our churches, that it's very crucial that we support the church, that we love the church, that we give ourselves to the church, that we're committed to the church, that we're here with our presence every time the doors are open. You see, I don't believe you can go to church too much because I don't believe you can love God too much. You just need to love Him with your whole heart, everything about you. And I believe some have lost their first love for Christ, and they've lost their first love for His church. And they're not as faithful as they used to be. You see, now I don't know about you, but I love my wife. And biblically, if you love your wife, you're going to be willing to lay down your life for her. And I hope you love your wife that much. And if we love God's church, biblically, He was willing to give His life for our church. We ought to be willing to give our life for this church. His church. I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about His people. And we ought to be willing to go, and we ought to be willing to do. We ought to be willing to witness. We ought to be willing to do missions. We ought to be willing to do whatever we can to see that the Word of God reaches all the corners of the world before He comes back. Now that takes some commitment, folks. You've got to be committed to the work of God, not because you want to get your way about something, but simply because you love God. Have you lost your first love? Then I love God unconditionally. You see? Unconditionally. There's no excuse not to love God with all your heart and all your soul. Love Him unconditionally. Be here in His church. Somebody told me one time, let's go to Nehemiah. That's a beautiful book. I'm going to preach on Nehemiah tonight. I'm preaching on Malachi, ain't I? Okay, Malachi. Either one of them good books. But Nehemiah 10:39 says, "We will not neglect the house of the Lord." And that word neglect means we will not let go. You see, sacrificially, we ought to love God and honor God with our presence. And then we ought to honor God with our finances. Folks, I'm not saying that we're broke or anything like that, but you know, we ought to love God that we can give and do things. Let me ask you, how are you giving to God? The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7, if you don't know. Reminds me of a little boy. I told this years ago. This was a little boy said, "Mama, I love you so much." You know, little kids are so innocent and sweet. They love their mom, and they'll tell you how much they love you. And they'll put their arms around. I have a bunch of granddaughters. I forget how many. And I've got one. I love them all, but I got one particular. She'll just come and put her arms around you and say, "Grandpa, I love you." Let me tell you what. Little boy said, "Mama, I love you." He said, "When I get rich, Mama, I'm going to buy you a car, new car. When I get rich, Grandma, Mama, I'm going to buy you a new house." Next day, he tore something up in her house, and she said, she was scolding him real good, and he said, "Mama, there goes your car." You know, that's the way church members are a lot of times. The first thing we cut out is God. We say, "God, there goes your tithe. You know, I'm not going to love you above certain things." I never will forget old Ed, Brother Ed Etheridge. He said, a lot of us say we're driving our tithe. Some of you get that in a minute. You know, that's not pleasing to God when we cut out His giving. I believe we ought to give sacrificially with our lives and our presence in God's house. And I believe we ought to give our finances to God's house. That shows how much we love, don't we? And then I think we ought to be faithful in our attendance and our givings. So let me encourage you today to come to Bible study. You see, you can't grow in your knowledge. Jesus says, "Baptize them and make disciples." And you can't grow in your knowledge of the Bible without getting in a Bible study. We have some home groups going. We have Bible study here in the mornings, 9:45. Why not come and join in with a class? You know, that's where we learn to love those people that are not so lovely. That's where we learn to fellowship with one another. That's where we learn to grow in our life. But so many times we don't do that. You know what happens to our people? And I've watched this over the 33 years. We'll have people come and join, and they never come to a Bible study. They never get involved in the church. And one day, they'll miss church. And next Sunday comes along, they'll miss church. And a week or two comes by, and, you know, they've fallen out of church. They're not going, and they begin to let go. That word neglect, the Lord's. And sooner or later, you don't find them in church at all. Someone said, Brother Perry said this morning, we're only two generations away from not having any young people in our church. Have you looked around at our churches? not this one and not, but just about all our churches, we're losing our children. And I'm so glad to see our little children come, and I'm so glad to see that we've got things going on for our little children. But if we do not bring them as parents, parents, you're going to lose those children. If you do not bring them to church. You know, I've said it before. I heard a parent one time say, well, you know, I let my children make up their own mind. That's about as stupid as you can be. You know, I don't like to use that word. Somebody said, that is not a good word, but that is stupid. You're going to let them make up their mind to do things that you know that are harmful to them? No. You go to church with them. You bring them to church. You sit them, you know, you sit them on the front row or the second row. And you let them learn about Jesus Christ. Because there's coming a day when they will make up their own mind. And man, let me tell you something. It's so good when you know that they've come to the Lord and you've trained them up like the Bible says, and you've taught them the Word of God like the Bible says, and one day they walk that aisle and they give their life to Jesus Christ, and you know they're part of the family of God, and they don't just come on Sunday morning. They come Sunday night because they have a love for God. That's the way their parents went to church. That's the way they were taught to go to church. And oh, how wonderful it is to know that when you let your children go, and they do go, don't they, that they're going to be in church. I believe it's inexcusable for a Christian to forsake his church, folks. Now, I'm not talking about being on vacation or something like that, but just not to show up, not to come. Some people don't really care about their church. They don't care what they contribute or what they give to the church, as long as they can go along on the ride when things are going good. And then don't be critical. Don't be critical. It just tears me up to hear someone criticizing our church or someone in our church. Hey, let me tell you something. They are part of your family. They're part of the family. And then another way we neglect the church is simply by not caring. We don't care. Oh, some are baptized. Some get saved, and then they set in on apathy. I believe that's the greatest challenge in any pastor that he faces. People just don't care what's happening. And I believe people ought to be involved. I believe in any church, you're added to the church because God wants to use you in that church. When somebody joins our church, I pray that, you know, we can work together for the glory of God. That's part of it. It's not where the pastor works. It's where every one of us work for the glory of God. Listen to what Hebrews 10:25, it says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhort one another, and much the more as you see the day approaching. Friends, there's going to be a day of trouble in your life. There's going to be a day of discouragement in your life when you need encouragement from the church, from those that are around you. I read this article which said, pastor quits sports altogether. No more football games will he go to. No more basketball games will he watch. No more baseball games. You know why? It said every time they went, they asked him for money. The people who sat beside him were not friendly. The seats were too hard. The coach never came to visit him. The coach never made decisions he liked. And he had to sit with the hypocrites. The games lasted more than an hour. The bands played the music he'd never heard. And growing up, Dad always made him go to the game. So he wasn't going anymore. You see, that's silly, isn't it? But yet I hear the same thing. People say, well, preacher, I can't go to church because the pews up there, they hurt my back. You're talking about a hurt back. Then I catch them at a ball game sitting on a metal bench for an hour or 2 hours. That's no excuse, folks. You're not lying to me. You're lying to God. Had a lady said not long back, well, I can't go to church. I just can't get out of the house anymore. But, man, I tell you what, I saw her in Walmart. She looked pretty good. Man, if you can put up with Walmart crowd on the weekend, you can put up with this crowd on Sunday. I tell you, we may be rough, but we're not that rough. I went down there the other day, and I thought I wasn't going to make it out alive. Man, I tell you what, got out of there fast as I could, and they got a whole lot more than my tithe, I tell you that much. Folks, the church needs to be in this community. We're the church, God's people. And we need to act and live like God wants us to act and live like. We should love one another here and love the people outside. You see, for 33 years, I've given my life to this church. The best years of my ministry, and I intend to give the rest of my ministry to God in this church. Now, all I have to offer is what the Bible has to offer you, salvation in Jesus Christ. Folks, it thrills my heart to know that when someone's saved, they come to church and they want to grow and they want to learn. And I tell you, if you'll come with me and make that decision, I'm going to support this church sacrificially with my presence unconditionally, Jesus will use us for His glory. We'll see more than 7 preachers from this church. We'll see more than hundreds saved. The Holy Spirit, I believe, will do something so great for the glory of God through this church simply because we love God. Now, would you make that commitment this morning? As a church, as an individual, would you love His church? If you're not saved this morning, God so loved you that He gave His Son for you. You see, the Bible says we're sinners. We need a Savior. I was saved in 1975, May 5th. He's still working on me. And I'm so glad He is. I'm not perfect. I won't be perfect. But I just pray every day, God, use me for Your glory. That when I'm taken out of here, I'll have done everything I can do to reach one person, one more person for Christ. If you don't know Him, would you come give your life to Him? Simply by faith, saying, I want Christ as my Lord and Savior. You don't have to know everything about it. You don't have to know everything about this Bible. All you have to know is that you love God for dying for you, and you want to give your life to Him, and you give your life to Him. He'll turn you around, set you back on the right path. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy. Life's not easy. But, oh, you can be happy in Jesus Christ. If you're saved, man, let me tell you something. Recommit your life. Lord, I haven't been as faithful as I should be. I want to be faithful from this part on. I want to be doing the work that You've called me to do. You see, we're not called just to have fun all the time. We're called to work for God. The Bible says there's coming a day when it's too late to work. Some of you here this morning, you're looking for a church home. And if this is where God's led you, let me tell you something. This is the best church that I know of anywhere around. And there's a lot of good churches out there. But I just think this one's the best because of the people that we have in it. Would you come if God's leading you? Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the love we have for your church. The love we have one for the other. Lord, may we just continue on to strive to reach people for Christ all around this world. Lord, may you just continue to do an awesome work in our lives. And God, we give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you stay?